Thank you for listening to this episode of Courtside Indiana podcast. Please hit the subscribe or add button on your podcast app to get them delivered straight to your phone, tablet, or desktop. As always, we'd appreciate a rating and review, and you can reach us directly on our Courtside Indiana Twitter at CourtsideIND. Welcome to Courtside Indiana podcast. I am Jim Reamer, joined by Zach Tyler, Dominic Neely, Patrick Woolley. Gentlemen, how are things?
All good here.
Yeah, don't everybody speak at once and then everybody speak at the exact same time.
Podcast 101.
Right? Yeah, more and more we need to get out of the area where I prompt people to speak. We need to step on each other's toes every now and then, but Kyler is watching his brother play basketball. I was today years old when I found out Kyler had a brother. Did we know Kyler had a brother?
He's mentioned it before, I think, on here.
Okay. I just thought he was upset because Bedford couldn't pull it out against Scottsboro. So he's like, I'm out of here. He just texted me. He's like, hold on, what's to say? Oh, he gave me his lock of the week. Oh, okay. There we go. Well, we got Kyler's lock of the week. We got a recruiting update. Our first in a minute, it seems like. We're going to talk about a little bit about the sneakers for Santa games as a whole. See if we can't solve some of the attendance issues that goes on with that game. Those games, sorry. And then we'll do our weekly features. But first, Zach is going to get us up to date on our lengthy, lengthy recruiting update.
Yeah.
Go for it, Zach. Zach, see if you can do it all in one breath. Go.
All right. 2025, Lawrence North guard, Xavier Robinson with an offer from Marquette tonight.
All right. Slow down. Slow down. Don't die. Don't die on us now.
Okay. Shoo.
That's it. That's our only recruiting update. Is that because we're slacking off, or is that because it's been kind of quiet, hadn't it?
Yeah, offers are quiet. Yep.
I mean, it just kind of adds to his list, right? We're not nothing.
Right. Right.
At this point, surprises us.
Did I see he has like 22 offers now?
I mean, we could find out. We could find
but
out.
Yeah, I mean that's. As expected, I would say.
I mean, he's got 20. We've got him for 21.
Okay.
And by we, I mean Zach. Marquette, Xavier, Georgetown, Indiana, Ohio State, Butler, Illinois, Arizona State, St. Louis, Temple, Toledo, Notre Dame, Central Florida, Northern Illinois, Oklahoma State, Texas Christian, Texas Arlington, St. John's, IUPUI, Indiana State, East Carolina. All this calendar year. So I'd say it's a good haul.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
He'll be a kid that could come out with a list. Although he's just a junior, so he's got another. I'm anxious to see if there's something he's waiting on. And if it'll be said off the record or on the record, probably not on the record. It wouldn't be wise to say it on the record. But I know people around his camp, someone listens. I'll get a text sometime tomorrow or Wednesday, maybe suggesting something, but that's a good list of schools. No Purdue offer. What do we take of that?
Was it Notre Dame and IU?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Purdue.
I mean, are they do have a bunch of kids coming in 2024, correct? They got like six guys coming in.
I have no idea.
I think I read
that somewhere. Catching Spencer.
That's all. I know they offered a 26 kid out of Northern Kentucky, a point guard that's really good. kind of similar game.
If only there was a
or maybe website, they're banking on him.
If only there was a website that could give us the offers of a school, like maybe something similar to verbal commits. Hold on a second. All right. Commits. CJ Cox, a point guard from Lexington, Massachusetts. Jakari Harris, senior wing from Georgia. Benner, Catchings. Daniel Jacobson, 7'1" kid from New Mexico. And then Raleigh Burgess, 6'11" kid from Cincinnati. That's a nice little class there, at least size-wise, balance-wise.
Only 7'1", that's pretty short for Purdue.
I know, right?
Yeah, there was a kid that was 7'7" that they missed out on, and I was shocked.
They've got 7 offers out in 2025. So that, yeah,
Have they offered Mullins?
They have not. No.
Yeah.
Miss Sicily.
Sicily, Jalen Harrelson, EJ Walker, Nicola Bandalo, Malachi Moreno, Eric Reeb, maybe Rebe, Ty Rogers.
Yeah, the Reeb kid. I think he's 7 foot.
Yeah, Moreno.
Rogers
6'10".
Is close to 7 foot.
Yeah, they're all listed 6'10", 6'11".
Yeah.
They're putting the hurt on Iowa right now. Is that, that game's over, right? What'd they end up winning by? 87-68.
Yeah, I think they were doubled up. I think it was like 64-32 at one point.
Yeah, it was bad when I turned it off. It was bad when I turned it off. I mean, we were all, I think, sort of watching the Pacers. Purdue Monday Night Football, and here we are recording a podcast. This would be a good. This has been a good night to just sit and chill and watch TV, but it is what it is. All right, the sneakers for Santa games, they're not being very well attended. What? I mean, I kind of defend it somewhat. It's afternoon games are tough sells for families that aren't really involved. Especially a couple weeks before Christmas. Lots of Christmas shopping going on. Kids aren't looking to go to high school basketball games during the day.
And Kokomo the kids, wasn't invited.
I mean, students. Kokomo wasn't invited.
I'm saying they have a huge fan base. They're probably going to be
there.
You know, they're going to be the Southport on Saturday night. It's going to be I'm assuming it'd be a nice crowd from those guys. It looked like Brownstown brought some people. I couldn't tell on the stream, but it seemed like there was more full, and then it was more empty for the last game.
Yeah, it did. I mean, obviously Brownsburg had a pretty decent crowd. And look, they've never pulled those top bleachers out to begin with for these games. But I just saw some stuff, not that it moves the needle beyond us talking about it, but I didn't think the games were great this year. I'm not even sure how compelling they were.
Yeah.
Maybe the final three games. And that's not, I don't know. That's some of that. Uh-oh, who'd we lose? We lost Dominique. Some of that is, I think, just, you know, there's just some teams there we see quite a bit. I don't know. The Heritage Hills Evansville Christian game. Did Patrick, was that? I didn't particularly enjoy that game. No offense to.
I mean, it wasn't the greatest playing, but I mean, it was a good competitive game. I mean, Evansville Christian kind of came out there at the beginning, and would they have a 7-8 point lead at half? And Heritage Hills just kind of put the clamps down, and you know, Trent Sicily did his thing, and Heritage Hills just a little bigger, a little better on that day. But shoot, I was definitely impressed with Evansville Christian for a 1A school. They got some size, and they're going to be a real factor down here at that level.
They will. I guess sometimes it's just tougher to watch when you've only got maybe one or two kids on each team who can hit shots.
Yeah, and these kids play AAU ball all the time, so it's not an excuse, but I think the game started at like 10, 10:30. So maybe that had a little something to do with the play.
It was, I don't know if I just got kicked out and back on. I don't know if we mentioned there was a lot of missed free throws and layups in that
Yeah.
one, especially from Evansville Christian.
Kept waiting for Sisley in the first half to just kind of impose his will. And I think that happened more in the second half. I don't know. I think I'm interested, and I think his dad listens. I'm interested in like the first half. Trent didn't do a whole lot off the ball defensively to be a rim protector, and I'm wondering if some of that is, hey, don't get in foul trouble. The second half, he was much more active. You know, and that could have been the result of, you know, a little bit of a butt chewing at halftime, or it could be the foul situation. But then the Ben Davis Fort Wayne game, I thought your boys from Wayne, Dominique, were going to take that.
Yeah, they started off well, that second quarter they played really well.
Yeah, they were, it
Got
was
it going.
29 to 20.
Yeah.
And then I went and installed a couple of bathroom shelves or shelves in my bathroom that I've been wanting to do for a while. And next thing I know, Ben Davis is up six. It was like,
Yeah.
either took me a ridiculously long time to install two shelves in a bathroom closet, or they went on a hell of a run.
Hey, the
I think.
Williams kid from Ben Davis, that
Yeah,
kid is a ball player, man. I like his game.
he got some clock last year. He didn't play much in the deep in their tournament run, but he definitely made it, had a little bit of a presence during the year.
What was he, 6'7", 6'8"?
Yeah, probably, yeah, 6'7".
Yeah, long. 2000, another 2025 kid.
Good class, isn't it?
Pretty solid.
We talk about attendance of that thing. Is that, are those teams historically not great fan bases that travel? I mean, some of those are quite a distance from home also.
Yeah, the Heritage Hills Evansville Christian game playing that in
That's,
Brownsburg was an interesting.
yeah, that's especially the first game in the morning where fans don't necessarily want to get up and travel.
Yeah, and I can't be critical of anybody's fan base. Carmel doesn't travel well at all.
Right.
I think that every now and then you see a block of seniors who might end up at games, but for the most part, it's because they're buddy, you know, they're friends with the guys on the team.
Right.
Probably not a whole lot different than when I was there. And I know we had a group of about 20, 25 kids that traveled everywhere, but you know, at the time of school, 2,800 versus, you know, that's still not a big crowd. And now it's double. It's still not a big crowd. So.
But I mean, even if you have teams that have smaller fan bases when they play local, I mean, that's going to be an issue when they're traveling farther away too.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Yeah.
I don't know what how Wayne's fan base is, but I mean that's a couple 2.5 hours probably for them to get down there.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, they'll travel like in sectional and regional, semi-state. They
Right.
brought some fans over to Michigan City, but you know, for a regular season shootout like that, probably not going to bring a ton of people. And I
But
think
wouldn't you?
also I just think like matchup wise, like you know, being
Right.
at Southport last year, like number one Ben Davis, number two Cathedral for the night game, and that was a good crowd. You know, people were coming out to that. I'm not sure there was one of those type of matchups, you know, this year at Sneakers at least.
Wouldn't you say Fort Wayne, well, Fort Wayne in general, that would be one of those situations where the entire that a lot of that Fort Wayne crowd would be like, say, let's say they reached the state finals. Those would be just Fort Wayne people in general. There'd be a lot, like those years when Harding would come down and Fort Wayne North came down.
Snyder, yeah.
It wouldn't just be Fort Wayne,
Wayne,
insert school name. It would be, you
Fort
know,
Wayne.
large, yeah, just Fort Wayne in general, just supporting, which I think that's almost as, that's probably more cool than, you know, Carmel gets the state finals. Nobody's coming to support Carmel. It's just Carmel
No.
people.
That's a fact, so, Jim.
They are pulling the. They're not pulling the.
They'll go cheer
they
against.
They might get. They might get some Garen fam. They might get some Garen families there, but that's about it.
I feel like the Indianapolis stuff too, like Tech when they went down. I feel like a lot of the city came out to support them in 2014 and some Maddox of those schools
a few years ago.
Yeah,
I think a lot of those dudes are a lot of those dudes younger than 25 were going to be there no matter what, though.
Yeah.
Because they're just interested in any good Indianapolis team. There was definitely the year Tech got there, you could see some old, like elderly people who went to Tech.
Oh yeah, alumni
rocking their letter jackets, and it was neat.
Mike Epps, yeah.
Yeah, it was neat. I'm talking like old, like 60, you know, 70s.
Well,
and 80s.
I know, I seen him. I was there.
Yeah, you go to any of those games now. Even now, you still see some of the old guard. You go to Addicts games. You go to Tech games. Broad Ripple used to be the same way. You just see guys that went there that have just remained loyal and steadfast. And for a school like Addicts, especially, it closed and was shut down for a number of years.
Hall of Fame games are typically well attended, right? Is that because of format, matchup, that type of thing? Number of teams, is only two teams or four teams, I mean, and then winners play. Does that play a part in this? Or,
well, the interesting thing in the Hall of Fame stuff, the end zones are in the morning or the early session are emptier than they are in the evening. And I think that's a big reason. And then, but then the crowds, the school crowds are there no matter what, based on whatever criteria they use. But that's why you don't see Carmel go over there, because we don't travel well.
Yeah, that's a part of the selection, right?
It is very much. And I don't have a problem with that. The Hall of Fame's, the actual Basketball Hall of Fame is using that as a fundraiser. So I don't blame them for that, but it's still an opportunity. There's been a couple of instances where they've just missed out on having one of the top teams in the state.
If Brownstown ends up playing Kokomo in the night game with a championship up there at Newcastle this year, it's going to be, I don't know about completely full, but it'll be a nice night for the Hall of Fame Classic if that happens. It will be packed. Jack Benner, Flory Badunga, two fan bases. That would be nice.
No, I would agree. I probably won't be there, but not at night. It's been a long time since I've been there at night.
Jack should be healthy by then, hopefully.
Yeah, what happened with
healthy
that,
this weekend?
Yeah, Patrick, what happened with that? You were supposed to deliver him.
I didn't do it to him.
Yeah, you were supposed to deliver him to Indianapolis healthy.
Well, talk to Seymour about that.
That's your part of the state.
Yeah, you have to talk to the Owls about that.
Hyperextended knee and calf strain. Is that what I saw?
That's the word. He's supposed to be ready to go by Friday against Scottsburg.
Oh,
yes.
We know what game you're going to.
Spoiler alert.
You got season tickets to Scottsburg.
That's at Brownstown, man.
Oh, okay.
You're good getting in, right? You know, you got the.
It's already taken care of.
Add a kit. There we go. It's amazing what you can do with a little email and extra phone call every now and then.
Yeah, a little charm. Yeah.
Well, I just think it's communication.
I'll call it charm.
Southern charm. Southern charm.
There, all right, best games, best teams, best player. What else we got? Surprises. Yeah, we'll do surprises after that. We'll do best game, best team, best player. Who wants to start? Best game. Who wants to start? Come on.
Best game.
Best game?
There we go. Zach's up. Let's go.
Go for it.
Saturday night game for me. South Bend St. Joe head over to Chesterton in the region. Big time matchup. We've got Chase Konecny. We're talking about these 2025 kids. Chase Konecny is one of those dudes. But unfortunately for him, a couple 2024 stole the show. It Justin Sims, Tyler Parrish. Those dudes were something else. They were on another level Saturday night. St. Joe Press was working for a majority of the game. But when Tyler Parrish is pulling up and hitting from the volleyball line, it's over. And that's what he was doing. So,
what kind of offers does he have?
NAI. He's got Marion, Grace, Bethel, Purdue Northwest, I believe.
Yep. Marion, Bethel, Purdue Northwest, and Grace.
And Tyler Parrish is very similar to that. I don't think he doesn't have a Purdue Northwest offer, but he has NAI is also.
You mean Sims?
Sims, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's got three of the same, Marion, Bethel, Grace, and then he's got Mid-American Nazarene.
Okay.
Is that a duo? They're going same college?
Yeah, is that a package deal?
I think it will end up being a package deal in the end of the day.
Uh-oh. Could have been a hot take.
Sorry.
Could have been a hot take. Missed opportunity.
That's from what it sounds like. It's going to end up being a package deal, so someone's going to be lucky on that deal. Go ahead.
I was going to say, did I see where St. Joe up 10 in the third?
St. Joe was up 10 or 11 in the third, actually. Okay. Yeah. Couldn't put it away. Every time he thought they were going to, Sims did something that blocked a shot and then scored at the other end, or Parrish hit a deep three. Sophomore Logan Picorni played well for them also. They got a little freshman guard, Tobias Ray. He did really well for them. A little role player dude that starts as a freshman for Chesterton. The one thing they lack this year is the depth that they're usually used to having. They didn't go but maybe two or three off the bench this time. But St. Joe's about the same. They went two or three off the bench also. So. But I think St. Joe's going to be pretty tough. They're going to be a tough out in sectionals. It's going to be them, Washington. It's going to be a tough 3A sectional. I think they can make some noise.
No.
Marion is in there. Yep. They can make some noise in that sectional, though. But yeah, that was the best game for me.
That Chesterton team, not to the level of the talent, reminds me of that Bloomington North team that won state. Back in 97, 98, let's see, what was the
97,
where it was their two best players were juniors. And then they just had five or six seniors that were anywhere from nice role players to third scorer. Any one of them could jump up and, you know, have a double digit game. And now, I mean, I don't think Parrish and Sims, no offense, are to the level of Dwayne and Conte, but it's still at the same time. It just reminds me of that group because then they graduated all their depth, but they bring their best two players back, and now those two guys are playing with young dudes, and that's what happened too with Jabril and Dwayne. They graduated all these seniors, and then this kid named Jared Jeffries came on, and he got some playing time. And all right, well, maybe there's no Jared Jeffries, but not the same caliber among the top two. No, again, no offense to Sims and
Parrish. Unless Jared Jeffries was 5'10" when he was a freshman.
He was not. He was 6'6" and he looked like Bambi.
Yes.
he looked Bambi like on ice. Bambi on roller skates is what I called him.
Watch out for both those teams this season. I know Chesterton played. They play down. They play in Southport.
No,
they played Noblesville this year, or the Fishers tournament. Does Noblesville not even have a tournament? Do they?
Noblesville's got a smaller 14. One.
Okay, yeah, 14
so maybe they're playing. Are they at Fishers? I thought they were at something.
You keep talking. I'll find out.
I should have my notes prepped for this. Sorry, geez. I know St. Joe plays over at Homestead tournament this year.
Fishers tournament.
Who they draw on that one?
Lawrence Central. Wait, we got notes? We're taking notes? Chesterton, Bloomington North in that event. I'll run that by Jabril when I'm over there that day.
Portage, Riley, a lot of Zach's teams.
Are you coming down for that, Zach? I mean, that's...
Gosh dang, I should now, huh?
I mean, I know Alex played for me, but that's kind of like your spirit bro, isn't it?
Well, that's my spirit brother, yeah.
Yeah.
He got ejected the other night.
Did he? For
little
what?
Side note.
Seemed like some misunderstandings, right? On
it
that.
Was it was sound was like it? A whole mess. He called me after the game and it was just a mess. That was the Marion game. They won, Marion. But he got ejected. There was like five total technicals given out. Two of them were hit. Two were his. None of them were Marion players. And
was it nine straight free throws for Marion?
It was a whole thing, and we're past it.
Still won though. Riley still got the dub.
Yep.
I got to text Alex. I did not know this. Oh my. All right. Who else next? Somebody, don't make me tell you. Let's go. Somebody step up.
Go ahead, Dominic.
I'm up. We'll go Tuesday, best game Tuesday night, Blackhawk at North, Fort Wayne North, North Side. It was North Side just kind of had the lead the whole game, kind of kept it at arm's length a little bit. And then Blackhawk kind of got it going in the second half where you could kind of tell the fans started getting into it. You could kind of tell that momentum's getting ready to shift. And then North Side, Eugene Young hits a three, or Javion Davenport makes a play. They just couldn't get over the hump. But Northside was good, man. They came out right away. Jackson Fugate. I found out it's Fugate. His family sat right next to me, and the announcer kept saying Fugate, and they kept letting them know it was Fugate. So Jackson Fugate, he came out, was hitting shots. He had like 7 or 10 quick ones. Eugene Young, both of those guys are kind of comparable, both 6'5" wings, both can shoot it, both can take their game to the next level if they can, you know, really start getting into the paint from the perimeter. But they both were, you know, they both in the past have been inconsistent when I've seen them play. One game they're really good, next game kind of disappear in the past. But so far this year, they've been playing really consistent, really good, hitting shots. And then Javion Davenport was really good for Northside. He was there. He's a senior guard for them. And he just plays with so much confidence that, you know, he'll just drive the lane and kind of looks congested and he'll put it up and make it. He had a couple of those floaters, hit a three, hit his free throws. So he was a really nice third scorer for him.
The lane's congested or he's congested?
Dominique's congested.
Looking a little bloated.
Yeah.
We need to start a move. I think from now on, we're just going to call him Fugate.
Fugate.
Fugate. The reverse of me and Kakalia.
And then for Blackhawk, for them, it's just, I think it was the first game of the year and everyone is in a new role. I mean, Callum Pickett goes from their third leading scorer to he's their go-to guy. You know, Isaac Smith goes from their space the floor guy, catch and shoot only from last year. That's what they needed him for. And now he's kind of their second, third guy. Aiden Muldoon was their sixth man last year. He's their second, third guy. You know, then Gage Sefton's brother comes from the JV right into the starting role and is expected to score. So just a bunch of new roles. I can see them improving a lot and being really hard to beat in March.
How did Pickett score?
Everything was at the rim that night, and he left a lot on the table. Even he had a couple where he got the rebound or got an outlet and took the length of the floor and kind of jumped and maneuvered through guys in the lane and finished with some really impressive finishes.
But,
and then he had some other ones that got right where he wanted to, perfect shot, and just couldn't get it to roll, couldn't get his outside shot to go. But he ended with 22.
But he's shooting the outside shot.
No, he's shooting it. Yeah, just wouldn't go in. Good. Wouldn't go in that night. I know he blocked three shots, some big time blocks. Two of them were big time at the rim blocks, and then he affected some other ones. So he played well, but he did leave something, you know, some things on the table. And then I really like Aiden Muldoon. He's going to handle the ball for him, and he's one of their guys that can get to spots on the floor and get into the paint, make a play for himself or his teammate, hit a catch and shoot three. You know, I really like Muldoon. I think he's going to be a huge piece for them. But Northside ended up winning by 8, and it was a good game. I don't know, but I've seen two games now where the double bonus, man, it just seems like you get down to the end, they get their fifth foul, not to the end, but where it's kind of 8-7-8 in the fourth, and they just can't get over. They get those two free throws, and it seems like the teams just can't get over that hump right now. Yeah, but I'd like to see the 1-1. But
yeah, I want the 1-1 back. I mean, I don't know what the IHSA was thinking on that, or the NFL, this issue of them kids getting injured is crap.
I don't know if I've ever seen that.
Nah, I mean,
no.
I mean, maybe in theory, I guess, but I don't think I've ever seen someone get injured.
Maybe I've seen kids get hurt on misses.
Yeah.
But not on makes.
There's a lot of movement going after a rebound on a live situation, not just in the lane, but you know, a free throw. But
I do love now, you know, here we are 2 weeks in. I love that they reset at the end of each quarter.
It makes the
game much nicer. Really would have came and played the game I'm going to get ready to talk about, but it's just a much more fluid game. And was that all for you then on that one?
That's it. Yep.
My game of the week, Carmel Plainfield. Probably not the most. I mean, Carmel was down by 10, 29-19, and it looked like. I mean, I think an awful lot of Plainfield's group. They've got a lot of same. They got some of the same issues as Carmel in terms of they've got a couple of older guys they're going to rely heavily on, but their most talented players are young, so they're going to have some inconsistencies this year. I don't think this is going to be the 18-3 team they had a couple of years ago, but they're still a good watch, and they had control of the game, and Carmel started taking away what they did offensively, and you know, Plainfield kind of at that point thought, well, let's shorten the game and see if we can't limit possessions. And there's a logic in that, but it really took them out of what they wanted to do. And it really hurt the younger guys, Noah Smith and Baker Lands, or Harper Baker, sorry. Harper Baker Lands. There's a lot of names there, none of which are first names. But Carmel found a defensive identity and started to climb back into it. And then there was a moment there where it's like, oh crap, they're going to win the game. You know, and you could even see it on the bench. You could see it on Coach Osborne, you know, when all of a sudden Carmel had control of the game and they just, they kind of ripped Plainfield's heart out, you know, and Coach Weaver from Plainfield went from kind of shortening the game, take your time, to man, we got to get going. I think there was a stretch there in the second half, really, for where their best offense was inbounds plays, you know, but in the flow of the game, Carmel was pretty impressive defensively. And I tweeted at the end of the game, they found a defensive identity. They still have some questions offensively. I'm not trying to pin anything on anybody, but I have no clue how Alex Kudo did against Lawrence Central, but against Plainfield, he hit basically two baskets. And he has to do more than just be a catch and shoot guy. And the talent is there. The shiftiness with the ball is there. He's a good ball handler. I hope that's viewed as being constructive. It's just because I think he has the ability to be that. Clevenger's playing really well for them, the senior point guard. And, you know, and defensively, they were getting a lot out of their young guys. Evan Harrell had two big steals. Mikey Fountain did a nice job. Julian Vogt did a nice job. They got good play out of, especially on the defensive end of the floor. Aiden Dickerson is a freshman. They had a rotation there for a while where they were playing three sophomores, a junior, and a freshman. And Plainfield wasn't a whole lot older. Eli Ellis, you could tell there's times where he could kind of get whatever shot he wanted, but there was also a stretch there in the second half where he really struggled to get a clean look. And, you know, at the end of it, you know, just the defensive end of the floor for Carmel is what took it over. And if they, you know, they can build on that and find some consistency defensively speaking, I kind of figured they'd beat Lawrence Central because I didn't think they would turn it over 20 times in a game. But that's Plainfield's a good win. So say that obviously from a very subjective point of view, but it was a fun game just because you saw one team down 10, just kind of climb back into it and just kind of rip it away. And it was a fun game to watch.
Well, Jim, you know, I messaged you after that game and I was surprised because, you know, I'm thinking Plainfield in my mind is hovering around that top 10 in the state. And when they beat, when Carmel beat them, I thought, I mean, that's an upset in my mind. I know we discussed it a little bit, but well, that's a real good win.
You had mentioned it as being a surprise. I'm not surprised Carmel won, but I agree it was an upset. I would think anybody would probably view Plainfield as the favorite going into that game. I don't know how much home court advantage matters at the high school level. But, you know, I just think that defensively there just was an extra level there, especially in the second half. And, you know, it's funny, the free throw rule. Carmel had a lot of fouls in the second half, and they would have been – I mean, I think Plainfield was in the bonus in the third quarter with about 2 minutes to go in the third quarter.
They just not hit their free throws or what?
My point there was that it reset at the end of the quarter. So Carmel got to start from scratch. And I think, if anything, Osborne coached that situation extremely well because there's no reason now not to be aggressive defensively. You know, even if you do get in foul trouble a little bit in one quarter as a team, it starts from scratch the next quarter. And that's kind of why I wanted to save a point that I was going to make when, you know, we were talking about it a little bit earlier. Is there is definitely a strategy behind it. Anytime you have a rule change like that, we talk about shot clock. But anytime you got a rule change that impacts the way the game, that impacts possessions, because I think free throws, how quickly you get into the bonus is a possession altering rule. Anytime you get into a game where you have a rule change that impacts possessions, I think it tremendously changes strategy. And, you know, I think that the approach there is that, you know, at the end of the quarter, you're going to have a new set of fouls. So why not be aggressive? And that's exactly what Carmel did. And, you know, they had a toughness to them that I definitely did not see against Zionsville. It was bad against Zionsville. And, you know, chalk it up to first game, chalk it up to youth. I mean, the combination certainly they're in, but they found the defensive identity. Now the rest of it is getting some guys going, mainly Harrell in the half court. He had some nice plays in transition. And you know, a kid like Kudo. Plainfield, I think they'll be fine. I think they got to get Colin Schmidt's got to be a little bit more. He can't disappear in games like he did this one. I don't know final numbers. But Ellis is going to go through the same things, the same concerns that I've had with Carmel's guards. It's just size. You know, there's nothing he can do about it. He just has to play and do things to create space. And you know, when he can, he's going to hit shots. And Carmel just did not make that very comfortable for him. So, all right, Patrick.
All right. Now that the Pacers won, I can really concentrate here on this game. Scottsburg.
We stalled long enough for you to watch the end of the game.
Yep. All right. So I hate we don't have Kyler on here to talk about his Stars and maybe even rub it in his face a little bit that they didn't win. But I really like Bedford's team. Bedford went to Scottsburg on Saturday night. Bedford showed me that they were coming off a loss to Bloomington South, and I thought, okay, Scottsburg, 15 to 20 points. I feel like they can take care of them, handle them. And Bedford just came out shooting lights out. The Patrick Madsen kid, he's a junior, came out and hit two or three threes there in the first quarter. Bedford went up, was up 10 at halftime. And there wasn't really too much energy going on for Scottsburg. And they came out of that second half just with the 1-3-1. Half court, put a little press on and just started, running and gunning and getting a little more into it. Jack Miller, I mean, that kid had 26 total. He had a monster dunk going down the lane. He's a 6'4", 6'5", sneaky athletic kid. But I know he's got a Hanover offer, of course. But I mean, in my mind, I think he can play. I think he could get to that D2 level. I mean, that's kind of where I see him. But it's hard to beat a free ride at Hanover, so I get it. Cody Clancy, their senior point guard, he was held scoreless in the first half. Ended up with 7 on 7 free throws. So it was an off night for him offensively. But he did some things defensively and got other guys involved. Wyatt, 6'8", 6'9", Wyatt Zellers, couple blocks, 7, 8 rebounds, 16 points. He's got some offers, some NAIA offers from like Bethel. Maybe Jim, you can look him up there. But
who's that?
Wyatt Zellers. He's got a Division II from UW Parkside.
Yeah, McKendree, Parkside, in IU East, Goshen, and Bethel.
But he will be a great stretch, probably stretch four at that level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's quite the stretch. I don't think he's a three, but I think he could definitely space the floor at that four level. But Scottsburg ended up coming back, taking that game, finally got the lead, ended up going ahead by one or two and won it by, six points there at the end. But I really like Bedford's coach. I think they're a real contender in sectional 15, along with Jeff, New Albany, Seymour, Floyd Central. They draw the bye one night against the right team. They could make a little noise in that sectional. And of course, Scottsburg, they're hoping for a state title run. I'm going to find out a lot about Scottsburg this weekend when they travel to Brownstown and Providence.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Tough weekend.
You go 0-2 against a couple of 2A teams and still won't waver what I think of their chances in March. So
exactly. Yeah, those 2A teams could really compete in 3A.
Yeah. Zach, what's your best team?
I'm sticking with that same game and saying
I was going to say, you're just going to talk about that game the whole night, aren't you?
Yeah, unfortunately for listeners.
Oh, no,
two seniors, two starting seniors. They start two sophomores and then a freshman. So, like I said, the depth is going to be tricky for them. Not much size either. I know size has been an issue for them in the past as well a little bit. I mean, Sims is 6'6", but past that, they don't really go with anything too much bigger than 6'3". But they just play so hard. Coach Urban's so good at being a coach, just doing his thing. Smart players. They're going to win a bunch of games, and they could sneak into a regional or maybe a semi-state, I think, with this team too again. So it's going to be a good season for them.
Jim, when I send you that power list or whatever, Chesterton's in that top 10.
Uh-oh, there you go.
I what are they, 3-0, 4-0 already, Zach?
Yeah,
3-0.
Elkhart Morton.
It definitely wouldn't surprise me to see them. I mean, when we did our 4A preview, didn't we touch on who's the top team in the region?
Yeah, I think we said Chesterton and Portage.
Yeah, I mean, top two. I don't. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised one bit if Chesterton comes out of the sectional.
Yeah,
you know, on the regional.
Depends who they draw.
Just depends on who they draw. I don't know that there's anybody.
Would be the Elkhart. It'd be the Mishawaka, the Elkhart, and then the other region, right? So I mean, we probably think them and Riley and Portage are the top three teams over there.
I mean, sectional one would be Munster, Gary West. Gary West off to a great start.
Yeah, they're gonna be tough.
I don't know where Lake Central fits in that. They're just 2-0 to start the year. Sectional three is South Bend Riley's.
A contender.
South Bend Riley's 4-0. As long as the AD is not getting kicked out of more games, that would be great. I mean, sectional four, Northridge just had a huge win over who? They just had a huge win.
Valpo.
They just beat Valpo. Mm. I mean, I don't see anybody there that would, on paper, stop Chesterton from thinking they could get to a semi-state.
Yeah, I think that's pretty reasonable. Penn has been sneaky so far, but
Penn's been sneaky, but I'm not sure you got a guy there yet that can.
Yeah,
I mean Maverick Brown, obviously, but man, I don't know who you're going to turn to when you need a bucket for them right now.
Chesterton's definitely the favorite, but there's definitely teams that can. You know, Riley obviously is right there with them.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So
yeah, I was going to ask Zach: is Riley, are they comparable to Chesterton?
Oh, Riley goes 10 deep there.
Yeah,
they got some dogs.
They're really good.
Well, and you know, who knows? You know, Gary West is looks like they're having kind of a resurgent year.
Yeah, Monster is always a tough.
You know, so two of those teams are going to get to a semi-state against. I mean, East Noble sectional. Now you're looking at that other couple of regionals, Fort Wayne North.
Two Fort Wayne's and Kokomo and Sectional 8.
Then you've got. It's not exactly. Exactly what it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, it'll be Wayne, you know, Carroll or Northside.
Oh, yeah, Wayne, okay.
And then Kokomo and then Sectional 8.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, Sectional 8 would be the banger there.
Yeah.
Dominic, did you expect North to beat Lures?
What happened?
Did North beat Lures? Is that correct?
Northside beat Blackhawk.
Blackhawk.
Okay, did you expect that?
My lock was Blackhawk, but I wasn't shy. I thought it could go either way. Like I said, Blackhawk has a lot of guys coming into new roles, and Northside had a regional run last year and has a lot of those contributors back, so I thought it could go either way, but I wasn't shocked by it.
Well,
there's some good ball up there.
Back to the start of the tangent, which is, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked at all to see Chesterton in the semi-state.
No, it wouldn't be.
But that's only because I just don't know how many great teams I see around, you know, that's in competition with it. Again, that's just a function of the class 2024. I don't know how deep it is.
So Chesterton and Riley could make it, right? Doesn't my say?
Yeah, they could. If they don't draw each other in the. Regional, I mean, yeah, you'd have two of those four. You'd have two of those teams. You know, let's say, Chesterton and Riley could definitely both end up in the semi-state.
Right.
Against, I guess, on paper, Kokomo. But if Kokomo
draws Sectional 8 and regional.
Draws Sectional 8, you're just going to get one of those dudes.
And then probably Wayne or the other.
So if you're everybody. I keep forgetting about Wayne. Shouldn't. Sorry, Brew. But yeah, if you're in that other set, basically what you want is if you're in that far north, that north northwest, you're gonna get, again on paper, you're gonna get Kokomo, Wayne, and the winner of Sectional 8, you're definitely not going to have all three of those teams in the semi-state. Because there's no way to not draw that out where one of them plays the other.
Right. I think you'd rather see a Kokomo and then a Fort Wayne team, or a Sectional 8 and a Fort Wayne team there. Not Sectional 8 and Kokomo.
Yeah, I would say everybody up there is rooting for a Kokomo and Sectional 8 to meet up.
Yeah,
I think
the favorites, if we project that semi-state out, I think the favorite's going to be, if just now on paper, Sectional 8, Fort Wayne Wayne, or Kokomo. I don't think you're picking your poison. And only two of those teams can make it.
Right.
I think they want Kokomo to get beat.
Right.
Because that's the irresistible force. Is Flory.
That's what I'm saying. They're probably going to want that to happen in the regional, Sectional 8 versus Kokomo, because Sectional 8 probably has the best chance to beat them.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You don't think Wayne's got enough bodies? You don't think Wayne's got enough bodies to throw at Flory? And
I mean, last year they played them and Kokomo won by about 20 in the semi-state. So that's obviously not great, but I just think Sectional 8 probably has a better chance. I mean, they've already beat them to this year so far, Westfield.
Well, who's the big fella for Wayne?
Dillard?
No. The dude, the Trey big Dillard. Fella. No. Not Trey or not. No.
Not the, Comer. It's Zaire Sullivan.
There you go. The thick kid.
Yeah, Sullivan off the bench.
I mean, that's five fouls, man. Just throw him up. Beat up on Flory and don't got to worry about losing the offense. And let Comer and Dillard do their thing. Kokomo's guards right now. I mean, there's a long time between now and March, but right now Kokomo's guards are not great.
Yeah, I definitely think Wayne has a chance to beat Kokomo. I would think the Sectional 8 winner has just a better chance, potentially.
Yeah, I mean,
I believe I heard Kokomo has 60 turnovers in three games.
I think I did see that, yeah.
Well, they post their box score, so there's probably a pretty good way to find out. But
yeah,
they'll have that cleaned up by March. They'll be rolling.
I mean, we'll know
New Albany was right there with them the whole game, within 1 point, 2 points. Their biggest guy is 6'4".
Go, Zach. You were saying something.
Yeah, we'll know a lot about Riley too, because they're in that Kokomo tournament again this year.
Are they?
That's right. Yeah,
they're at Fishers too.
They're at Fishers also. Yep.
They in the Hall of Fame? I'm just kidding.
They were, but AD got ejected. So
yep. Hey, they won. They won on Saturday night against Maryville without him coaching.
Well, there you go. That says one of two things: either Alex runs a great practice, or Alex is irrelevant. He's not. He's definitely not irrelevant. He definitely runs a great practice.
All right, get through more best teams here. Let's go.
I know. Who's next?
I think I'm up.
Yeah, go.
I'm gonna roll with Bishop Luer's best team of the week. Saturday night, they Marion came off that hot, intense battle with Riley, all those technicals, and came into Luer's and could not find the basket. Man, they had about five or six at the rim. You know, where you're just like, yeah, that's a bucket. And they just kept going in and out, could not finish right at the rim in the first half. They had 9 points at half. And it was 28-9 at half, Luer's. And then they probably scored more than 9 points right away in the second half, in the first minute and a half or 2 minutes. And they came out hitting everything in the second half. But Luer's was really good to start. It was, they had the incident with DJ Truesdale a few weeks ago. And he came in, he was at the game. He walked in during the JV game and people kind of stood up and clapped a little bit, and then they had a little ceremony or just mentioned he was the honorary captain, and everyone kind of stood up and clapped before the game right after the starting lineups. But it was, you know, good energy. They came out and pressed right away. They used their length and athleticism with the Truesdales now. Darion and Draylen, they're at the front of the press, creating havoc with their length. And then Carmani Davis, he's going to be a fan favorite for Lewis. Sophomore, come over from Concordia last year. He was at Concordia as a freshman. About 5'9 or so, but he can shoot the lights out, man, if you leave him open. And obviously, Marion was in their zone.
Marion's zone.
Yep. So they were finding Monty in the corners. And he's just one where he hit about two in a row, and then he comes down and pulls it from the volleyball line, like from the wing, but not straight on, like over from the wing. Pulls one. He missed it, but he just has super confidence. He's got the green light. But he had 18. He hit 5 threes and got fouled on another one and hit 3 free throws. Draylen Truesdale was good. He had 18. Darion had 10. And I think for them, they're going to keep getting better. I think they're a little hype. They had a couple instances where they could have just went up and kind of finished through contact. And, you know, one time Draylen jumped out from, you know, outside of the lane off 1 foot and just tried to dunk on in traffic. And he almost got it, but he missed it. Darion had one where he tried to dunk in traffic. It just a couple of things where they're trying to do a little too much, a little hyped up, where they could have maybe made a better decision there. But both of them played well. They're going to continue to get better. Isaac Zay was there. He got his 5 practices in this week. He's a 6'4 forward. That's really important for him, really strong, can hit threes, finish at the rim, good defender, good rebounder. So overall, they had a good game. They Marion did cut it to 6 in the second half. They came all the way back. Zion Rhodes was going off. But at the end, Lewis kind of kept them at arm's length away a little bit, got down to 6, then back to 10, and then the free throws, and ended up winning by 11.
Zach, you did your team of the week.
Yep.
Yeah, Chesterton. Oh, I guess it's kind of my turn. Fishers. Their game against Noblesville, that could have easily been also been my game of the week. Another game that saw team down, come back and snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. And, you know, in their case, they were down double digits. I guess Carmel was too, for that matter. But they have a lot of weapons. Fishers does. Keenan Garner was fantastic. John Anthony Hall was fantastic. I think that Hall especially proved that there was nobody at Noblesville that could keep him in front. No, not one single defender. And I know it's a team effort, and I'm going to talk about some of that here in a couple seconds, but when they were able to get Hall in situations where he could just rip and run or face and go, his first basket was an elbow catch where he just verse pivoted, ripped it through, and beat Aaron Fine to the basket. And it was as simple as that. And now the first half, I thought Noblesville did an outstanding job of clogging up the paint, which was a big part of their lead going into halftime. But that shifted quickly. I thought Fishers, whether it was an adjustment by Weiniger or if it was something that just wasn't going right in the first half, they were able to create more space in the second half. And what that did was put guys like Anthony, like Hall and Garner in a position to where, you know, they were just the better athlete again, you know, in their matchup. And then you get a kid like Justin Kirby, who's every Curry. Bit as athletic as, huh?
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Curry from.
No, Kirby from Noblesville. From Fishers.
Fishers, right.
You get another tremendous athlete. You know, and he was probably more effective in transition than he was in the half court. But again, another guy that created plays. He and Hall were both pretty active on the offensive glass, just keeping things alive. And then you throw in their two freshman guards, one of whom starts, Cooper Zachary, the other one, Jason Gardner Jr. If you shaved Jason Gardner Jr.'s hair off, he would look just like his father. Walks like him, built like him. He's probably 3 inches taller than his dad ever was. Sorry, Jason. But other than that, you know, he's got bigger hair than Jason, than Senior ever did. But he was good. He's not as he's not as assertive as Cooper right now. But he is, you could see him just pop in space. You know, he had one where he got to the top of the, from the top of the key, caught it, and just in one dribble got all the way to the rim with a little bit of a Euro step. And just fabulous ability to finish in traffic, take contact. Not a lot of opportunities to do that. And what I liked about both those freshman guards is they didn't force up shots. I don't think they passed up shots either. I just don't think they forced any. They both were able to get to the paint. They both were able to make good decisions. Cooper was a little bit more probing with his ball handling than what Jason was. You know, I've not mentioned Tate Metzger yet. Obviously, an great outside shooter. He had a situation where they were up five late. They came out of the timeout or something. Definitely a dead ball. And he takes a quick three, and you're like, oh, what the hell, man? And he hit it. You know, but that's the kind of shooter he is. He had space. You know, and that was kind of one of the final nails in the coffin there for Fishers. They've got a lot of options. We've not talked about Purdue. We've not talked about McCartney. You know, they've got a lot of kids. And, you know, they're also a team that, like I mentioned, plays two freshman guards that we know a lot about. And they're both very good defenders, especially for their age. I do think there could be some time, especially in big games, where Zachary gets picked on a little bit because of his size. But he's not a kid that backs down. He's not a kid that gives up a driving gap very easily at all. They both were pretty impressive defensively. And I think that's a big part of it for them. But probably talk a little bit more about Garner later. But yeah, Fishers is pretty impressive. And we're all gonna submit our own little power rankings here for maybe Wednesday or Thursday. I mean, Fishers is going to be in my top two for sure. Patrick?
Agreed. Let me go with, you know, even though I'm down here and way down in southern Indiana, I still got to call a spade and give credit to Cathedral. The weekend that they had.
Did you see him play, though?
Yes, I did.
Okay, there you go.
I watched
them
stream their game. All right. Bossy.
All right.
Yep. And they, you know, I wanted to see how the Howell kid looked. I wanted to kind of watch Bossy, see if they were legit contenders in 3A. And it looked like Cathedral was just playing with them. I mean, it looked like they could name the score of that game. Brady Kohler, I mean, somebody's going to have to start talking about this kid as like a high major, you know, junior all-star core kid. I mean, you can't tell me a school like Minnesota or Nebraska or even Louisville couldn't use a kid like that. So I think the offers are going to start coming in for him. He's a legit 6'7". I'm not sure he's even done growing. Okay.
Maybe. Well,
there you go. He's long. He can shoot it. As for now, he's averaging. Dude. Yeah, that's true.
He's on Indiana. That. He's on IU's board as of this weekend.
Well, he's averaging so far in the season. He's got averaging 22 a game.
He shoots it too well to play for Indiana.
53% field goals. I mean, he's averaging almost 7 rebounds a game. His three-point percentage is almost 50%. His free throws, 92%. I mean, the kid's going to be a high major when it's all said and done. And Cathedral, there's not many teams that could lose a McDonald's All-American like that. And then actually, they look like a better team. So as much heat as Delaney and Cathedral were getting last year. You got to give them credit so far this year.
Well, they lost a lot more than that, but
yeah, they lost. Yeah,
yeah,
I don't.
Well,
I
their best player was Tibbs last year. Remember the hot take?
Yeah, they're. Right? Yeah, they lost a.
They lost a lot. Yeah.
They're playing well so far this year.
I mean, look at the four wins they've got. I mean, Warren Central, Jeffersonville, the Jesuits, and Bossy.
Defining Jesuits.
Easy.
Shout out to Kyler.
You're next.
But yeah, I mean, that resume so far matches.
At this
up
point,
with
anybody. We're at this point we're mocking the Jesuits.
And their resume, outside of maybe Westfield, matches up with anybody. And then, of course, again this weekend, they play North Central. That's another good one. So they're going to be battle tested, and
so wait a minute.
Far,
you progressed into a hot take that Cathedral plays a tough schedule.
Yeah, breaking news, right?
What's next? What's the,
boy, well, hold Arnold's on. Got a, hold on. What the hot take was Cathedral's going to be under 500.
Yeah, and so, I also said Lagodi was going to be a top 10 team, and how are they looking right now?
So, I think they look pretty
good,
right?
Who said
Cathedral
was going to be under 500?
Hey, man, I was feeling it was too hot to handle.
Oh, Patrick did?
Cathedral and Carmel, it was the combination, the duo.
That was a hot take?
Don't Patrick listen to couple... Dominic.
It wasn't a hot take? Okay.
I don't think it was as hot. Well, I mean, that may sound like his hot take was Mullins will have an offer from Kansas and Kentucky.
Well, he had a couple of hot takes.
Yeah.
We didn't write them all down, apparently. It's all good.
Now, I didn't think Cathedral would be a team that would finish anywhere near 500 as far as that bad of a record. They're probably a little better than what I thought. But I think a lot of that, Kohler's doing kind of what I thought he would do. I think a lot of that is what Keaton Aldridge is doing as a sophomore for them.
He's tough.
Yeah, he is a kid that's transitioning his game to the perimeter more and more. And a lot of that comes in understanding decision-making, change pace, change of speeds, basically, off the dribble, making those types of decisions. And he's such a strong body.
Let me say on Saturday, the Sheldon, what's his name?
Gatlin.
The 6'7" boy, Sheldon Gatlin.
Yeah, Gatlin.
Yeah.
He's a nice ball player, too. I mean, he can play at the next level somewhere.
Carmel kid. We're just feeding them all.
All right, those are facts. I'm giving you facts.
Feeding them all over here.
I'm not ready to say they're better than last year. Yeah, I don't.
No, they're not better than last year.
No, but yeah, they have been.
And I don't know that has impressive. Much. That's not. Yeah, it's Jake Davis,
easy.
Tibbs and.
But no, yeah, they've been impressive for sure so far.
See, last year they were 19-6. Let's see where they get to this year.
Their losses last year were two to Ben Davis, one to Simeon. I know that. So that's half of them.
Yeah. Yeah, two games. Yeah, fourth quarter. Never mind. Go on. All right, Zach, best player. Let's talk about Tyler Parrish. Come on.
All right. TP1, baby. TP1. He went to work this weekend. He had 32 against Morton on Friday. I'm sorry, 30 against Morton on Friday, 32 against St. Joe on Saturday. Inside, outside, at the rim. Whatever you want, three-level score. Is that what you want to call him? He can do it.
No.
No,
it ain't got nothing to do with him. That's
okay.
It's the most overused phrase, and
that's why I used it. Yeah. But really, he was, like I said, volleyball line, no problem. A couple pull ups, finished at the rim. He was having a just unbelievable weekend, and I don't see it stopping anytime soon. Honorable mention, I'm going to go with Jack Smiley, though, from Valpo. 26-6-8 against East Chicago on Friday night.
Wait,
39.
Change the rules of the game here. Well, honorable mention. What are we doing?
Is there a rule? I didn't know there's rules. Come on. Anything goes here. 39-5-4 against Northridge and a loss, though. That we'll get to that one a little later. Yeah, we Tyler Parrish.
I'm glad Jack finally had a good game with one of us in the building.
No kidding.
And I do mean that sincerely. His poor kid.
Oh, yeah, me too.
It's been the – really, is he any good? Well, every time we see him play, he's like 5 points.
Yep. Yep.
So I was glad, literally glad to see him. Because I had mentioned something to Kuhlman last year, and he's like, well, then don't come to our games anymore. And I'm like, okay. As if I'm at a lot of Valpo games, but –
Jack did play well when I was there. I was
good.
Was pleasantly surprised. Got other guys involved.
Surprise? Oh, that was, man.
Got other guys involved. I mean, he fills the stat sheet, that's for sure. Sneaky athletic. He's long.
They just looked anemic last year against Carmel.
Yeah, they did.
And the year before, yeah, he was a freshman the year before, but.
Oh, but even
Harris plays with a. Paris plays with a little edge, doesn't he, Zach?
He does. He'll get in your
face.
A little
nastiness to him, which is...
A little swagger, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like it.
He's going to get some Mr. Basketball votes. Region votes.
I'm going to say, Zach, are you on the board?
Can I petition to be on the board?
Get a vote?
Nope.
I got a vote. Not getting my vote. I've already made up my mind.
It is.
Florida will have to kill the Pope before I would not vote for him. And even then, it would be up in the air.
You got a lot of talk down south here about Jack Benner.
Here we go.
Yeah, that's fine.
Here we go.
Yeah.
No.
Hey, I say Florida too, but hey.
Yeah. Whatever. There's definitely going to be talk.
Didn't he just have a 26-point, 23-rebound game?
Six blocks, yeah.
Six blocks.
Yeah.
But he's not Jack Benner. Okay.
Nope.
Jack is going to have a hell of a career at Purdue. He'll do fine. I just want him to get healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stay healthy, kid.
Dominique.
Yeah, I'm a player of the week. I'm going, what was it, Zach? 1K Lou? Is that what? 1K Lou on Wednesday, was it Wednesday when he went over 1,000?
Yeah.
Javon Lewis from Wayne. Yep. I watched the stream on Wednesday against Leo. It was a really good game, actually. Leo was with him the whole time until probably second half of the third, maybe. But Lewis, Javon Lewis was, he had 18. He was hitting bombs from you know, what, 20. 2 feet from 70 feet. He hit a three-quarter court shot at the buzzer of halftime.
Baby J.
Floaters. He was going from everywhere. He ended with 32. And it was really hard to stop on Wednesday for Leo. And then I think – I didn't, like I said, I only saw half of the game against Ben Davis, but I thought he was pretty decent in the first half. I think he ended with 13 or so, but on Wednesday he was going from everywhere. Really hard to stop.
He was good in the first half. They just not a whole lot went right for Wayne in the second half.
Right.
Keenan Garner showed a little bit of everything, which is code for, which is German for scored on all three levels. Did hit a three. Impressive in space. And again, we talked about, I touched on this earlier, Fisher's second half. Well, look, Garner was good. Garner and Hall were good the whole game. It's when things started to get a little bit looser that opened some things up for other guys, especially Kirby. But I mean, Garner's just a worker. He's a lot more fluid than he was last year. He did hit the three, and it was actually in the first half. When they were struggling to stay in it, Nomi Noblesville kind of had their way with them. And that game was all about paint touches. And in the second half, it was all Fishers. And you know, and in his case, he's able to score off a dribble. He's able to beat his man in space. Like I said, he's able to post, battle the offensive glass. Just, you know, I think that he's got those two, cat's trying to climb my lap and decides to use his claws to hang onto my body, which is always fun. Two Division I offers, Eastern Illinois and Southern Illinois, Edwardsville. Defensively, he's definitely a four. He'll have no problem guarding his position. At that level, I feel like he can play at that level defensively. And offensively, I think the shot's there to, as he gets more consistent with it. You know, we didn't see that at all during the school year last year. In the summer, you see some of it, but you don't know how much of that is real. And it's not like he's going to be a high volume three guy, but when you watch him shoot, you think, okay, there's something there to work with. His ability to score off the dribble from mid range. He was a good passer out of the post, just a lot of nice things. And defensively, he's just really tough, tough kid. And he closes out possessions with rebounds. He can rebound on the offensive end. And defensively, like I said, he rebounds well. He uses his body. You know, Noblesville's got decent length at multiple positions. So it's not like it's not like it's cakewalk. Noblesville doesn't have a lot of size necessarily. But he was definitely the best player in that game. And I don't know how many rebounds he ended up with. I would be surprised if it wasn't double digits, but he had 26 points and really was a big factor in how just keeping them close enough that when they started in the second half that they closed the gap. They were down 10 at halftime, closed the gap pretty quickly behind him and Hall.
He's strong, right? I mean, his hands, grabbing rebounds and in the paint, he's strong.
You know, and you watch him, he hasn't really discovered the weight room yet. His body's a lot leaner than it was last year. You know, he's a kid that will benefit. He'll benefit from his body changing as a freshman.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that Fisher's doesn't do that, because they do. You could see it in other kids. It's just something that I think that, judging based on what I saw last year during the school season and what I see now, it was basically changing his body up versus adding any sort of bulk or weight. And I'm sure he's gotten thicker, but you know, he still has some potential for there to be more. But yeah, he offensively, he could kind of be this jack of all trades guy, maybe master of none, and maybe the D1 level. What does he do? But I think he's going to shoot it well enough to be effective. I think you're going to be able to run offense through him, as they do with modern fours and fives. He's going to fit that role extremely well, or be able to. And to me, that's his floor. You know, and his ceiling is a kid that can be an offensive threat at the four. And, you know, he'll have the rest of this year to improve. That's for sure. He looked good against Noblesville. They didn't really have a whole lot of answers for him. Even when they were playing well, they had no answers for Garner. None. So that leaves Patrick.
Yep. I'm going back to the Berg. Got to go with jumping Jack Miller this week. He single-handedly kept Scottsburg in that game in the first half. Finished him off with 26. When his outside shot has fallen like it did that game, he is really tough to stop, because his bread and butter is drive down the lane, get to the basket, or pull up for that 7-8 foot mid-range jump shot. But he was hitting on all cylinders the other night. So I'm going with Jack Miller. And they're going to need him big time this weekend, and I expect him to show up.
Man, I just think he could be a dude in the Crossroads League. I don't know why more NAIs aren't on him.
I wonder if there's an element of the fact that he maybe at that level he might just go play for his dad.
Yeah, there's something to that, Jim.
I don't know how that works.
Oakland City, is that where his dad is?
No, Hanover.
Hanover.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the D3. Okay, sorry.
I don't know what Hanover's rules are. You know, like what's head coach? He's a member of the faculty.
Full ride.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's, you know, especially if he's a good student, I'm sure there's full ride capabilities there. And, you know, no offense to Crossroads League. I don't know if that's a big enough step up to justify not playing for your dad.
Yeah, and his brother's already on the team also.
Is he? Yeah.
And
Right,
maybe a
surprises. Oh.
and maybe a well, I was going to say it may be a Miller Clancy backcourt down at Hanover College in the
Could be,
coming
yeah.
years.
All right, surprises. Who's up?
I'm up.
Go.
I'll go. I'm going. Wanted to get this one out because if it gets taken, I don't have a backup.
I better go next then.
I got Franklin over Center Grove
Okay.
on, I think it was Tuesday, an overtime at Center Grove. Thought that was surprising.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
Probably didn't get a
I'm
chance to
gonna.
watch that, did you?
I did actually.
You did?
Yeah.
Franklin, what did Franklin have other than?
This one kid was hitting all kinds of shots. I gotta find his name. A 6 foot guard. Gets nice elevation on a shot. He was hitting them.
McLaughlin?
No.
No.
Let's see. I'll get it pretty quick unless they don't put their stuff up. Roster.
Great
The big
radio.
boy for Center Grove.
It was
How'd he do?
Grant
Nicholson.
Hunter.
Oh, Hunter.
Oh,
Oh,
it was
really?
Grant
Yeah.
Hunter, yeah. He probably had 18 or 20. The big kid from they say it's Ephraim. I don't Michael Ephraim, not Chigozie.
Yeah,
Right.
that's what he's listed as now.
But I don't know. I watched a lot of streams. They all kind of run together, but I don't. He did Zach. I think I did, sent you that video, right? He had a really nice move in the post, where
Yeah.
he kind of shimmy shaked and went up for a jumper, faked it, stepped through, and made one. It was a
Yep,
really nice
yep.
move from him. I do remember that.
I
But
mean,
yeah, outside of
he's attached to the rim. I've seen him play parts of three games, and now granted it was all fall league stuff, so it wasn't exactly, but he's not a guy that's playing face in the basket, and I mean he's not the next coming of Trayce Jackson Davis. He's not that dude.
No, he had a really nice move on that one. The other kid that was really good for Franklin, obviously Micah Davis, I think he had around 20. Hunter kid had around 18, and then Ryder Street, left-handed, big forward, stepping out and hitting a lot of shots for them from three as well. So those three guys were really good for Franklin. And I did hear, and I've heard the kid's name before. What was the kid you mentioned earlier? Nicholson. Wyatt Nicholson. His
Yeah.
name was getting mentioned a little bit too. I can't remember him, what he was doing, but I just know Street was hitting threes, big lefty, Micah Davis, and Grant Hunter was hitting shots all over the court.
Right, man, who's next?
All right, I'll go for a surprise. A shocker to me was Bar Reeve beating Orleans
Yeah.
There you go.
in three
Overtime,
overtimes.
three overtimes.
Whoa.
Jeez.
40 to 37.
Oh,
Shootout.
Shootout. I put that in the
good.
Slack.
That's right. That was late night Slack. I saw the next morning.
We need a shot clock.
Somebody down this way had a
Oh,
five overtime game this weekend, but
I saw that.
Jesus.
yeah, the three overtime game, 40 to 37. I mean, all the people are coming out of the woodwork talking about shot clock this and that for that game. But too bad. That's my shocker of the week.
Zach,
I'm going with Northridge over Valpo.
figured that's where you were going.
Yep, up here. Mason Bales had 27 against Jack Smiley's 39 and was still too much for Valpo to handle. Back-to-back nights.
Battle of the lefty guards.
Lefty guards. 2025 lefty guards.
That's right.
I think my surprise of the week in Franklin Central over Brownsburg. You know, I don't know.
Did that happen? What was that?
Friday night.
Jeez.
46-49. I mean, I know where Franklin Central's. I mean, EJ Haslett's obviously a very talented sophomore. But you know, I'm. Question I asked is, what am I missing with Franklin Central? And the reply was, she didn't play very well. Now, I know Franklin Central does have some size. I don't know much about their guard play at all. But they, you know, and you saw Brownsburg against Warren Central there at the Sneakers for Santa. They first half, they were terrible, especially offensively. They definitely aren't. You know, coming into the year, you figure they're one natural shooter. You know, their one natural shooter was going to be Lomax. But that the other guys were improving to the point where they could hit, you know, stationary or they're open. But then none of that really happened against Warren. So I can imagine if they're struggling all around offensively, that, you know, that could be a thing to watch for. That they is, and as good as Lomax is offensively, he's not catching in terms of just go get a bucket. You know, still some of it needs to come out of some of it still needs to come out of structure. Or catchings was just a lot better. I mean, look, and it's maybe the difference between catchings being 6'8" and Lomax not. But I think we all kind of felt that Lomax would replace some of that scoring. And I don't think that's just something that's easier said than done. You know, three of Brownsburg's four games have been pretty low scoring games. In fact, they've not allowed an opponent over 50 yet. And that includes North Central, Warren Central, two teams that like to get out and go. So kudos to them defensively. So the rest of it's just going to be, do they have enough shot making? And so far the results are mixed. But they are incorporating, you know, a couple new pieces. But still pretty surprised they lost to Franklin Central.
Chesterton goes down there, Zach. It's Brownsburg.
Yep.
So does Crown Point.
Yeah, they do. McConaughey is down there, too. Jeez.
Oh, that's true. They had Josiah. Yeah, you can see Josiah
Ball.
Castle. Oh, they play Castle at
tournament.
Brownsburg goes down to Evansville.
Harrison.
In a weird 2-day tournament.
Hey, Harrison is tough.
We're one of the games is randomly at Bossy.
Bossy's game. Harrison's the squad.
Oh, it's just
Harrison. Harrison is the squad in Evansville, I believe.
This isn't even a tournament. It's just like a showcase. One of the games is randomly at Bossy, as if that's somehow part of it.
A 2-day showcase. Okay.
So Brownsburg goes down just for one game. They play Castle.
It says tournament, and then you click on it.
That's a coding thing.
Looks like a shootout, or
I understand how that works. It's anything that turns into a one-day deal or something that's not a regular scheduled game was just going to have tournament on it. It's the same thing on our site. We just call them events. Patrick, you're surprised. Wait, who has the surprise left? Anybody?
Nope,
that's it. All right, locks. Let's go. Who's up? I'll start with Kyler's. Kyler texted me his lock. He said Heritage Hills over Garen Catholic on Saturday.
Shocking.
Wow. I like it.
Going against his boy. I think he's trying to.
Agree with it.
Oh, he's going
but
with
I like
Sisley.
He's going
with
out
Sisley.
On the
Right.
Is Jack Cherry healthy?
No, not yet.
Is okay. So he's out for that game, and out for Westfield this week.
He will be out. Yes, he will be out.
Okay. I'll go lock Saturday night. I got Kokomo over Fishers.
Oh,
100% disagree.
Man,
this.
Zach, who's your lock?
Dude, I don't know. See if I can find something around here. I haven't even been looking.
Well, let me go real quick then. I'll go ahead and say one. I might not get a chance to do it again this year, so I'm going to go with the hometown Madison Cubbies over the South Dearborn Knights. Lock it in.
Who?
Madison.
We know
Madison Cubs play South Dearborn Knights.
Is that a controversial take, or is that a?
I mean, yeah, I think Harold's side has South Dearborn, so
okay.
3-0, South Dearborn.
Nice. Ooh. All right, there we go.
I'm gonna go. My Lancers over Winamac Friday night.
Loveville, the vote getting
wow.
Loveville.
RV.
I'm going Fishers over Kokomo.
I like it.
I almost did that, but I stayed away.
Yeah, I'm going to just go out on a limb. I don't know. I don't know yet that I'm going to be down. I don't know yet I'm going to be down there. I've got plans to go somewhere else that night. And I'm not quite sure the car is going to be back in commission by Saturday. In fact, I can almost guarantee it won't be.
Better be hitting those threes.
I need to quit hitting those curbs.
Yeah, hitting curbs.
Fishers better be hitting from the outside.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting game plan. They will definitely work to pull Badunga away from the basket. But again, we talked about their guard play. Kokomo's going to have to step up their guard play. If you just look at the box scores,
has some athletic guards.
Yeah, if you just look at the box scores, it's a super struggle bus. You know, even seniors are still young, but it's not. You know, Bellamy Beard, they're struggling, especially shooting the ball.
Jeez, we go from undefeated to, man,
I don't
the turnaround.
Double-digit losses. And geez,
there's no we. I wasn't on the go undefeated bandwagon.
Oh, okay.
That stuff's not easy to come by.
I don't think anybody called it, did we? We just
no, it was
we're
a story
interested line. In a storyline, yeah. That's been kiboshed.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Well, but I think if you bring it up, I think you're thinking there's a chance. And
oh, yeah.
Well, I thought there was a chance. Yeah. We went through the schedule. There's a little, you know.
Easier to say now than I thought there was no chance. But it's easy to say that now that they have a loss. But I'm just saying I don't. They're going to rely heavily on, again, young guards. But, yep, might be a foolish Fishers over Kokomo, but.
No, that was the other one I was thinking about, too. I like it.
So.
All right, get out of here.
I think we're done.
Where are we going this week?
Oh, yeah, where are we going this week? I'm going to Garen and Westfield. Westfield at Garen on Thursday. Noblesville at Carmel on Friday. And then Saturday, I don't know where I'm going yet. I'm probably not leaving. I may not leave Carmel until Saturday because Ritter University on, was it Tuesday night, tomorrow night? For some reason, that's attractive. I don't. So we'll go figure it out. Anybody go to Dom? You're going to Southport, right?
Yeah, Saturday I'll be there for the final four games.
Okay. Zach, where are you going this week?
I'm not sure. I haven't even looked at the stuff yet this week, unfortunately. Usually I have stuff down by now, but nothing yet.
No.
You mean to get you a couple games again or
give me a couple
trifecta?
games.
It's like Dominic's Zach's assistant. You're like a
My,
head, like a
yeah.
head college coach,
My agent.
Zach. You got people
Yeah.
telling you where to go.
Yep. Fine with me.
Patrick.
Yep, I'm headed to Brownstown on Friday night.
That's right. They
Scottsburg
play.
at Brownstown.
Nice.
I might even go down to Providence Saturday night. We'll
Uh-oh.
see. Might
Man, you're
be
getting your
a double
Scottsburg.
Scottsburg weekend.
You're getting your Scottsburg season tickets in. All right.
Yeah,
All right,
might have to.
boys. Good show. Long one today.
Yes.
Long ones. Keeping Zach up past his bedtime. Hey, I gotta produce this thing. You guys get to go to bed.
I'm off work, so I'm we can go a little longer.
That's right.
Jeez, maybe if we start a
Dominic's
little
taking December.
sooner,
Dominic's taking December off.
somebody get his
Yeah.
kids to bed in time, we can do this sooner.
Right?
PTO, James, got to use it.
Jeez.
Whole month.
All right, boys. Well, have a good evening. We'll talk again next week.
Later.
All right, later.